Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 23. It is a continued study of a casual Christian has a confused conscience. This is part two. This is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study.
And this is the problem with many Christians today, as they're too busy looking at their past and too many things that are going behind them, you can't fix. You can only fix what's in the day that you're in right now. The other thing he tells them is like escape, and he gives them specific directions to where? The mountains, to the mountains. And this is the difference between Lot and Abraham. Abraham was about the word. Lot is about the world, because we'll see what happens. He starts negotiating, and that's what a carnal Christian, or I don't even know if you can call them a carnal Christian. They're just not Christian. Let's just call it for what it is. If they continue to keep running and running and running and running and running to sin, you have to ask the question, did they actually give their heart over? Because there should be some change in their life, even if it's minuscule, right? Like, even the snail makes it to the ark. There should be some, like, okay, they're messing up, but man, you can see it. They get back up and they come back to church and they're trying to get, but it's one thing when somebody's not listening to godly counsel, not listening to the word of God, but just continuing to look to the world for answers. And many people will do that. They will come up and say the prayer and they'll live for the world. Don't need church. I think we had Tom Hughes had put it out. He's from Calvary Chapel. He does a lot of end times stuff. He's on Understanding Prophecy, I think, a bunch, and he's on Countdown to Eternity. But Tom put something and posted something this week about the decline of Christians attending church now. It's gone down again. People just, I got other things to do. I got other things that are more important. And I'm not saying that there are going to be emergency things that do come up and you can't make it. That's okay. I get that. But I'm talking when you start going months, or where you think, oh, I can just watch this online and I'm good. You're not. That should have never happened, because that's not church. It's you need this. You need that, hey, I need prayer. The TV's not going to do that. The TV is just going to provide more temptation. The phone is just going to provide more temptation. Oh, wait a minute, I got text. Let me see what that is. And you take, before you know it, you're not even watching the sermon anymore. But people do that in service too. Have you ever seen that when they pull their phone out and they're playing a game or something, sitting next to you on the, and you're like, why are you here? You might as well be at the house. But that's where people are at. Sometimes they get swept away. And I love that term, you will be swept away. If you continue to keep running and running to sin, you will be swept away. And that's what happens to Lot's wife. She swept away. She kept looking back. But here goes Lot. But Lot said to them, oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight. And you have magnified your compassion, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me and I will die. So he's actually kind of buttering them up. Hey, I found favor in your sight. You've shown compassion to me. Let's negotiate. I can't go to the mountains. He's like, they'll overtake me and I will die. You, God told you to run to the mountains and you don't want to. This is Lot. This is why in so many scriptures you see, remember Lot's wife. It's sad. But this is where, you know, when we think about that, like, hey, well, Lord, you've shown me favor, so now I'm going to go ahead and go back and start doing this thing over here. I'm back in the good graces of God, so now I can kind of blur that gray area again. No. Again, if he's your Lord and he's telling you go to the mountains, you go to the mountains. Now, many of us are like, yeah, summer's coming. We'll gladly go to the mountains, right? Texas summers are coming, and it's like, we'll run to the mountains. But he's like, hey, whatever's in the mountains that the Lord has for me, not good enough. It's not good enough. So he's telling them, like, God is telling you, like, hey, you need to go to the mountains, but that's not good enough. Now behold, this town is near you to flee to, and it's small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? Like, here's what I want, and here's a question to embellish what I want. That's double talking. You don't want that. So that my life may be saved. Brother, your life would have been saved if you ran to the mountains. But he won't do it. And he said to him, behold, I grant you this request. So God gives it to him. Not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the town was named Zoar. So Lot's heart was in Sodom. And because he couldn't have Sodom, he wanted Zoar. And there's a lack of urgency. Like, hey, bro, they're fixing it. God's going to destroy this. And you're negotiating in the middle of it. That's like you're taking gunfire. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Let me go talk about this thing first. It's like, dude, you're fixing to get shot. It's like you need to pay attention to what God has given you. There is a lack of urgency, and that is what a backslidden condition looks like. When somebody is not following God, that's the backslidden condition, as they will always, well, man, brother, I'll come with you to church next week. Oh, I didn't make it. Maybe next week. Oh, I'm going to stop drinking, man. I'm getting there. No, you just need to stop. You need to stop. Like, dude, your liver's shutting down. You need to stop. You're going to be dead in 6 months. Oh, you know, I'll get to it. But that's what it is. You're always compromising. And that's what confusion in a confused conscience looks like, is like, you know, and it's so sad when you know this is the thing that God has asked you to do and you don't do it. You want to negotiate and you start questioning your conscience. And you've already read it from the Word of God. You've already had it. Somebody, like, have you ever been in Scripture that morning and then somebody get, like, you're talking to somebody and they give you that same Scripture? It's like, dude, you've heard it twice now. Two times. And you ain't listening to God. What is it going to take for something to fall on your head to get it? He's dragging out this decision. It's like he needs to go to the hills, to the mountains. In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, we know the verse very well. It says, I will raise my eyes to the mountain, for where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is being merciful even within his judgment. Even within his judgment. But God will always judge sin. That's why I tell you, that's the question people will ask all the time. Well, I don't know if they're really following, or I don't know if they're really, they've come back to the Lord and they're going back to church. Are they really, what does it say in Scripture? Repentance bears fruit. It should bear fruit. If there's no fruit being bared, there ain't no repentance. You just got some remorse and I'm sorry. And that's what you get. And another thing out of this is sometimes the Lord will have to seize you and make you move. Like, there's a repercussion for your sin now. I'm gonna get you moving. And that's part of it. He will judge sin. And this is what happens when you allow the world to impact your decisions. and not the Word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek your word. Seek His. That's what happens, is you don't know the will of God because you're not in the Word of God. You're not in fellowship. You don't come to prayer. You stop doing the things that you were first doing, and that's what happens when you start having a confused conscience. And you have clear directions, but you can't follow them because you've allowed so much of the world into your decision. He told them to go to the mountains. But what did he do? What got them in trouble in the first place? Sodom. Where does he want to go now? Zoar. Smart decision? No. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Verse 23 says, then the sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. There's actually a place near the Dead Sea that actually has the fire and brimstone, the actual balls, and they found. And they actually are some of the, I forget what type of chemical gets made out of that. And they're buried. And the stuff that's under it has been scorched. And those things, they say, when they light them, are so pure, there's nothing like it else on earth. I'll post that video for y'all tomorrow to see. It just proves the Bible. Proves the Bible. Why would the Dead Sea have anything growing in it? Right? And so I love that. I love when you get to see. That's why biblical archaeology is so important. The Bible comes to life. It's not only when you read it through prophecy and the promises of God, but when you look and study biblical. I never studied it until I went to school. And it was one of my favorite subjects because you were like, oh man, that's in the Bible. And it's like, that's in the Bible. And it's like, so it just strengthens your faith. And so he rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. And it's a reminder to us, with the great white throne of judgment, there will be judgment. There will be judgment. And if your name is not written in the book of life, then you will experience something like you've never thought. And hell ain't something that AC/DC wrote about. Every movie you see in hell, they make it look like a party. It's not going to be that. It will not be that. So, and he overthrew those cities and all the surrounding area and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. In that same area, nothing grows. Nothing to this day. To this day. And I think it's the sulfur. That's what I'm remembering. The sulfur balls. They're so pure. The guy was saying, he goes, most of the time when you see these things, they're not like this. When he lights it, he goes, these things could light for a very long time. He goes, we've never seen anything like this anywhere else in the world, ever. And guess what? Nothing grows in that area. They can't grow crops. They can't do any. It doesn't grow. But Lot's wife, from behind, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now that's the verse that most people know when they read the scripture and they study it, is Lot's wife looking back. And that's such a thing about that. But let's push forward and then we'll get back to that. It says, now Abraham got up earlier in the morning and went to a place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the surrounding area. And behold, he saw the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. So it came about when God destroyed the cities of the surrounding area and the surrounding area that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of destruction when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. This beautiful, lush area back in Genesis 13:10 that we read about is now destroyed. And sadly, I mean, she looks back. She looks back. And judgment will come. And that's why Jesus speaks about it. He uses Sodom and Gomorrah to remind us in Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 32. And he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Do not leave or do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things, be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on that day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And it will be just the same on the day of the Son of Man as revealed. And on that day, the one who will be on the housetop with his goods in his house must not go down to take them. And likewise, the one that is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. He uses that because he's reminding you, like, though when the rapture happens, people would be buying and selling and marrying. But when the tribulation begins, the great tribulation, judgment's coming. And to understand, like, he's telling you, don't be looking back at the world. Don't let the world become your focus. I always give y'all Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and it's like, keep your eyes on God. Look up. He's telling you, even in these verses, not to look back. Most of us remember the movie, you know, that I'm trying to think of the name of it now, and it slipped my head. The quote is, what we do now echoes into eternity. And honestly, the moment that you give your life to Christ, your heart to Christ, and you repent of your sins, eternity begins for you in the moment. Everything that you do will be placed and put on the bema seat of judgment for those that are believers. You don't face the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment is for those who did not believe, who were on the wide road to hell. For those that were on the narrow path, you still go through the bema seat of judgment. You're forgiven of your sins, your past, present, and future, but the things that you do now affect eternity. That's the rewards. Well, they get burned up, right? And for us, especially as we get ready for Easter, is we're not supposed to take our eyes off of the cross. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. And what happens is we have so many people that come to church and claim to have Christ in their heart, but they're looking back like Lot's wife, and they're treating people like Lot's wife would have been. Worldly. Worldly. That's where her heart was. Her heart was everything back there. Everything the world had to offer. What else do you need when you have God? You have God. You don't need anything else. Well, I got to eat. God will provide that stuff. Well, no, I got the job. No, you didn't. No, I made the money. No, you didn't. God provided that stuff. But see, that's the heart. When our heart starts to look to the world and we start loving the world and we start loving the things of the world. And Jesus is telling you, remember Lot's wife. You cannot have a firm grip on that stuff or it will have a hold of you. And I've used the analogy many times. I remember as a kid, first time ever looking at the ocean, 5 years old. I always only got to play in the gully in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. My dad would take us out, and the only time I ever got to play was in the gullies. The first time I ever got to go, and when you look at that ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and you're a five-year-old, it is massive. Can I tell you, I had a firm grasp with two hands to my father as we're hitting the waves, walking out. And I'm telling you, that's you. That should be you with Jesus, clinging on and holding. Take my hand. How are you going to take it? You should have never let go of it. That's why we prepare our minds and we have them in the right mind frame, which is, again, I seek first the kingdom of God. So the things that I need to be doing are things that God will grow that in my faith, being in the Word of God. Having the Word of God stored in my heart. Spending time with other believers in fellowship, with koinonia. Admonishing each other and building each other up and correcting and reproving. You know, the saddest thing is here we are coming at Easter. and you've been forgiven of your sins, and you can't forgive your brother or your sister. As a pastor, that's the thing that breaks my heart the most, is when I see somebody that can't forgive, but yet they've been forgiven of their sins. And we get so petty over things. And it's like, you've been forgiven. The work that was done on the cross, he forgave you. And you're a mess just like I am. And there's not a person in this room that won't say something they shouldn't have said, that won't have an action that they shouldn't have, because you're still fallible. You're still sinful. You're a sinner just like I am. He tells us in Scripture time and time again to forgive one another. But they hurt me. He's on the cross hanging, and he's like, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That's what he's asking you to do with agape love. He's like, you love them. But I can't do any of that stuff if I'm looking back. I want to be led by God. I want to know what his will is. And that's why I love that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We went over this a couple weeks ago. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Extend grace to each other. And sadly, Lot's wife looks back. And the sons-in-law didn't come. They didn't even show up. But we also see that Abraham did what? He was obedient, and he was saved from the judgment. He listened to what the word of God was. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and evildoer will be chaffed. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, said the Lord of armies, so that it will leave them neither root nor branches. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go forth and frolic like calves from the stall. It's important for us to get, no, we won't get through the rest of this tonight. I'm going to take some time to pray. But please just remember, Abraham went to the Lord, and Lot went to who? The world. Abraham was given direct thing to do, which is escape to the mountains, and he was disobedient. He didn't want to listen to it. Let me negotiate with these guys. Let me see if I can go over here to Zoar. And he's going to get more trouble next week, even worse. And it's a great example for us, too, is to remember, like when I read that verse in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, that there will be neither root nor branches. Coming will set them ablaze. The day is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of the armies. And there are so many people right now that would be done. If God called us home, the rapture happened, you know how many people would be left back here? You know how many people? We'd probably have more people in the United States than any other part of the world, because we're Sodom and Gomorrah. We're the modern-day version of Sodom and Gomorrah. And judgment has been here. And it will keep coming if we do not grab his hand and follow him and turn back to him. That is a promise. Like, this nation is on a tailspin, and they'll keep eating and drinking and marrying like nothing's ever going to happen. What is your instructions? Look up. Keep your eyes focused on that. You may not even make it to Good Friday service. The rapture could happen. You don't know. But hey, stop looking back. It's so easy to look back. It's so easy to look back. And for us men, be leaders. We need to lead. When your own family don't listen to you, your son-in-laws, that's a problem. Like, they don't even, we're going to stay here in town. You go ahead. Like, you don't have that much, you haven't instilled that much character and integrity of that you are a follower of God in their life to go, something's going on, we got to go. I don't know what it is, but I'm following him. And so don't compromise. Don't compromise your faith. Don't allow that backslidden life, and don't be negotiating with the devil what you think you can and can't do. Don't try to blur the area, like, stop graying out the area of sin. It's very simple what we're called to do, and we need to be doing that. And stop looking back. forgive one another. It's sad. Man, this is a sad piece of scripture because this really happened. And a lot of people died that day in their sin, in their sin. And hell was never made for us. But you keep choosing that sin and you don't want to follow Jesus, that's where you're going to end up.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.